So, Sri Varaha is a avatar. So we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's explanation of avatars and incarnations of the Lord. And for that we'll read from chapter 4, text number 8. Very famous verse. How many know this verse by heart? Without looking, can say it? Come on, all the hands should go up. So you have 1 year. If I'm here next year, I'm going to ask all the hands should go up. You should memorize this sloka, okay? Pritanaya saranam, vinasaya chaduskritam, dharma samstapanartaya, sambhavami yuge yuge. Amen. Pritanaya saranam, dharma samstapanartaya Sambhavami yuge yuge. Mataji. Paritranaya saranam. Vinasaya chaduskritam. Dharma samstapanartaya. Sambhavami yuge yuge. For the deliverance. Sarunam of the devotees. Vinasaya for the annihilation. Cha and Duskritam of the miscreants. Dharma, principles of religion. Samstapana artaya, to reestablish. Sambhavami, I do appear. Yuge, millennium. Yuge, after millennium. Translation. To deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. Purport. According to the Bhagavad Gita, a sadhu, holy man, is a man in Krishna consciousness. A person may appear to be irreligious, but if he has the qualifications of Krishna consciousness wholly and fully, he is to be understood to be a sadhu. And duskritam applies to those who do not care for Krishna consciousness. Such miscreants, or duskritam, are described as foolish in the lowest of mankind, even though they may be decorated with mundane education. Whereas a person who is 100% engaged in Krishna consciousness is accepted as a sadhu, even though such a person may be neither learned nor well-cultured. As far as the atheistic class are concerned, it is not necessary for the Supreme Lord to appear as he is to destroy them, as he did with the demons Ravana and Kamsa. The Lord has many agents who are quite competent to vanquish the demons, but the Lord especially descends to take care of his unalloyed devotees who are always harassed by the demonic. The demon harasses the devotee, even though the latter may happen to be his relative. Although Prahlad Maharaj was the son of Hiranyakasipu, he was nonetheless persecuted by his father. Although Devaki, the mother of Krishna, was the sister of Kamsa, She and her husband Vasudev were persecuted only because Krishna was to be born of them. So Lord Krishna appeared primarily to deliver Devaki rather than to kill Kamsa. But both were performed simultaneously. Therefore it is said here that to deliver the devotee and vanquish the demon miscreants, the Lord appears in different incarnations. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita of Krishna Das Kaviraj, the following verses from Madhya Lila 20, verses 263 and 264, summarize the principles of incarnation. Shishtihe tuye murti prapan se avatare se ishvara murti avatara namadare mayatita parabhyome sabara asvatana Vishve avatari dare avatara nama. The avatar or incarnation of Godhead descends from the kingdom of God for the material manifestation. And the particular form of the personality of Godhead who descends is called an incarnation or an avatar. Such incarnations are situated in the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. And when they descend to the material creation, they assume the name avatar. There are many different kinds of avatars, such as the Purusha avatars, the Guna avatars. Who are the Guna avatars? Somebody? Shiva, Vishnu, and Brahma. Then there are the Lila avatars, which are also called the Dasa avatars, of which one is Varaha Dev. Who can name some of the other Das avatars?
Kurma.
Huh? Louder. Nrsingha, yes. Kurma, Matsya.
Krishna.
Ramachandra. Buddha. Who else? Parasaram, yes, thank you.
Mohini.
Huh? Mohini, no. Huh? Hayagriva, yes. So, Das avatar means 10 avatars, and you'll see this painting. There's Vishnu, generally Vishnu or Krishna in the center, and then around the perimeter, all the Das avatars. I think this painting is used to be in Bhagavad Gita. Is it still there?
We have it in teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
Okay. So those are Das avatars, the Lila avatars. Then there's Shaktivesh avatars. Who are some Shaktivesh avatars? Ritu Maharaj is one. Yeah. Huh? Jesus. Yeah. I think Prabhupada said like that. Well. Srila Prabhupada. He certainly was empowered. There's no question about that. Okay, and then there's the Manvantara avatars, which are the Manus. So Svayambhuva Manu, for example, or the other Manus. Generally, let's say the living entities, if there's somebody that's qualified, can take the post of the Manu. But if there's nobody qualified, then Krishna himself incarnates as Manvantara avatar. And then finally, there's the Yuga avatars, of which, who is Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes. So many avatars, huh? So Krishna is coming again and again. So Prabhupada continues, all appearing on schedule all over the universe. But Lord Krishna is the primeval Lord, the fountainhead of all the avatars. Lord Sri Krishna descends for the specific purpose of mitigating or minimizing the anxieties of the pure devotees who are very eager to see him in his original Vrindavan pastimes. Therefore, the prime purpose of the Krishna avatar is to satisfy his unalloyed, his pure devotees. The Lord says that he incarnates himself in every millennium. This indicates that he incarnates also in the age of Kali. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the incarnation of the age of Kali is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spread the worship of Krishna by the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the holy names, and spread Krishna consciousness throughout India. He predicted that this culture of Sankirtan would be broadcast all over the world, from town to town and village to village. Lord Chaitanya, as the incarnation of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, is described secretly, but not directly in the confidential parts of the revealed scriptures, such as the Upanishads, Mahabharata, and Srimad Bhagavatam. The devotees of Lord Krishna are very much attracted by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. This avatar of the Lord does not kill the miscreants, but he delivers them by his causeless mercy. Om Ganatamanandasya Gananshana Shalakaya Chakshin Militamina Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitamina Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam. So Krishna is very eager to associate with his devotees. And by the way, he takes care of business sometimes too. That means he'll kill the demons who are interfering with the pleasurable activities of his devotees. The devotees are actually harmless, wonderful people who desire nothing but good for all the people of the world. But even though they're not offensive in any way, still the demons, they are so envious. They want to harass and punish and sometimes hurt the devotees of the Lord. So Krishna doesn't like that very much, and he appears to Pritranaya Saurunam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. So to give association to the devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. So Varaha is one such avatar. He's one of the Das avatars. There's that song by Jayadev. Like we sing for Nisringadev. Tavakara kamala varena kamadvita shringnam dalita hiranya kashipu tanyabringnam keshavadita narhare rupa jaya jagadisha hare. So that last line, you can sing it for all the different avatars. Keshavadita, Rama, Sri Ram, jaya jagadisha hare, and so on like that. And so there's also one for Lord Varaha. So Lord Varaha, he has appeared actually in two different incarnations and for different purposes. And in the Bhagavatam, they're kind of combined into one. We'll read the one sloka from there that explains that. This is third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 13, the appearance of Lord Varaha. And the verse explains, Lord Boar very easily took the earth on his tusks and got it out of the water. Thus he appeared very beautiful. Then his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel, he immediately killed the demon Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. Purport. According to Jiva Goswami, the Vedic literatures describing the incarnation of Lord Varaha are in two different devastations, namely the Chakshusha devastation. So this means that after every day of Brahma, there is a partial devastation of the planetary systems. So the planets, they're arranged. The hellish planets are on the bottom, and then you go up to the middle planets, which is the Earth, and then the heavenly planets are above. So at the end of every day of Brahma, there's a partial annihilation of the lower planetary systems, which include the Earth planet. And so this is what's being referred to here in the Chakshusha Manvantar. So after that one, there is a devastation, or before rather. And then the Svayambhuva devastation. So Svayambhuva Manu and his wife, they are supposed to fill the universe with progeny, with children. And so they were ordered to do that by Lord Brahma. But then they went and they couldn't find the earth. The earth was still submerged in the water of devastation. So they had to go back and say, we have a problem here. Can you send the plumber? Kind of like that. then it's described in this chapter that Lord Brahma, he was considering, okay, what to do? Better if we actually allow Vishnu to figure out what the solution to this problem is. And as he was thinking like that, now Lord Brahma, he's such a personality that by his thought he creates so many personalities. You can read this in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, how Shiva, Rudra, appeared from his third eye. The four Kumaras are the mental sons of Brahma also. Narada Muni also. So many personalities. Brahma begot them without the help of a wife. He was just generating living entities to get everything going, to get everything started, because he was the only one, right? So he's called Aja, which means unborn. It just appeared from the lotus flower growing from the navel of Mahavishnu. And so he's there by himself, but he's the guna avatar, the qualitative incarnation of Rajagun. So being such a personality, naturally he wants to do things. He wants to get things going. So he has to generate progeny. He even had to generate his own wife. That came later. But first he's generating so many personalities. So then they go back to him, and so he's thinking, yes, let's think how maybe Vishnu will help us solve this problem. And as he was thinking like this, from his nostril, about the size of the tip of a finger, a small boar came out. Now, boar, if you've been to India, you've perhaps seen the actual nature of a pig. In Vrindavan, there. Situated in their constitutional position. They like dirty places. But actually pigs are quite nice, you know. They're smart. They're smart like dogs. And they're very happy too. You can play with them and they can learn tricks. They're actually quite nice for pets. Many people actually have started keeping designer pigs. I guess they breed them to be very small, and people keep them in their house and all kinds of crazy things like that. But anyway, pigs are not so bad. Not as bad as they're made out to be. Anyway, they like dirty places. And their design of their nose, you see their nose is a little curved up. And so they dig in the ground with their nose and they smell out their desirables. And they're looking for roots to eat and things like that. So because this animal likes the dirty places, so he appeared from the nostril of Brahma, which is, you know, a fairly not so clean place. The nostril is meant to filter out the dirt in the air. So, but then as soon as he came out, he started expanding in size and growing bigger and bigger and bigger. And then he started to roar. Everybody was wondering, ooh, this must be Vishnu himself, because they were so amazed by the sound of his voice was actually, instead of being fearsome, it was actually very pleasing to them. So they could understand that, yes, this is the Lord who has appeared to solve the problem. And so Varaha then, he went to the waters of devastation. In the material universe, it's shaped like an egg. And the bottom half is filled with water. And then just above the water are the lower planetary systems and so on and so on. And then you get to the middle planetary systems. And there's a plane which is called the Bhumandala. So Bhumandala is actually, the earth is part of this plane of Bhumandala. There's an old picture of Varaha lifting the earth But he's got actually, like that picture, where was that picture here, shows a globe. But this older picture, shows a disc, like a plate. And so this represents the Bhumandala. So, of course, this is our modern idea, that the earth is a globe, or that Varaha is saving the earth, but actually he had to get the whole Bhumandala, which had fallen down into the waters of devastation. And Bhumandala is how wide? It's almost 4 billion miles across. There's a little room on both sides, but it's very, very big. So Lord Bohr, huh? What an accomplishment, lifting up 4 billion mile wide earth, the earth Bhumandala. And then here, I got sidetracked. So we're reading this purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, in the Vedic literatures, describe the incarnation of Varaha in two different devastations, namely the Chakshusha devastation and the Svayambhuva devastation. This particular appearance of Bohr incarnation actually took place in the Svayambhuva devastation. That's the time when the earth had been submerged. And when all the planets, other than the higher ones, Jana, Mahar, and Satya, merged into the water of devastation. This particular incarnation... of the boar was seen by the inhabitants of the planets mentioned above. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti suggests that the sage Maitreya... So this description of what's going on is being spoken by Maitreya. In Vishwanath Chakravarti, one of our acharyas, in his commentary on the Bhagavatam, he suggests that the sage Maitreya combined both of these incarnations of the Lord into one story and summarized them in his description. So in the other one, the Svayambhuva Manu, the earth had been submerged. In the other one, there was the demon Hiranyaksha, he and his brother Hiranyakashipu had taken a great deal of gold out of the earth, and because of that it lost its weightless condition and fell down into the water. So the same kind of situation, in both times the appearance of a boar was the appropriate, life form, to remedy the situation. So anyway, the point is that the Lord, he's very, very dedicated to his devotees and to maintaining the order in the universe. He protects the devotees in all ways so that life can be peacefully propagated, so that we can live our lives ideally for the purpose of self-realization, which is human life is meant for. And so he makes the arrangement that everybody can have their necessities of life in a very easy way, without too much struggle, and so that they can devote their time to self-realization. So, of course, now we have a modern kind of a situation, the modern chapter of this story, this struggle between the asuras and the devas, or the daityas and the adityas, is that the demons, that they've made it very difficult for people to live. Actually, 100 years ago, if you can imagine, before oil, before gasoline, before electricity, people generally only had to work about 4 hours a day to maintain themselves in a very decent way, at least according to the standard that they were used to. And so people had a lot of time. In fact, they had so much time that there were many festivals. There was practically a festival every week that the people would have, according to different in different cultures, but generally this is true. But the demons, they wanted to exploit the energy of the human beings, and so they've created the modern system that we have, the economic system in which people have to struggle to earn money simply in order to live, because we've forgotten how to depend directly on the Lord. So Prabhupada wanted us to go back to that. This, he spoke so many times about simple living, depending on the mercy of the Lord rather than depending on the demons for their money. And we've yet to accomplish that in a very serious way. And this needs to be done, not only for ourselves, but for the people at large, for everyone. Because people have no time today. Huh? That's the most valuable commodity that people don't have, time. Everybody's rushing to and from work, if they're lucky enough to have a job. And they have no time for anything else, or maybe they're working two or three jobs. So we have the modern chapter of this story between the asuras, the demons, and the devotees. So how does Krishna appear in this time? Huh? Is Krishna going to come and save the situation today? Because it certainly seems like we need the help of the Lord, because the demons, they control the money, they control the banks, they control the governments, they control the militaries, they control the media, they control the universities, they control everything. Huh? And they think they're all powerful, and they are. You know, recently we had an incident in the United States where some people felt that they were being abused by the federal government. I don't know if you saw that story, but so they decided that they were going to take a stand against the government. And so they called for some of their friends, and there was about maybe 100 men that gathered in one place in Oregon, state of Oregon, to let the world know that we're not going to take it anymore. Of course, the government has more guns than any group of men might have. And so, unfortunately, these fellows, they were not victorious in what they set out to do. So the situation is like that. Now, the demons, they have all the, you know, seemingly, they have all the power. So what to do? Well, in all the other past situations like this, we read many of them in the Bhagavatam, how when the devas are struggling against the demons, what do? They say, well, I guess it's time we can't make any progress. I guess it's time that we take shelter of Vishnu and appeal to him for his help. And so this is particularly in the eighth canto of the Bhagavatam. You read this story, but of course some of the other stories as well. And so they appeal to Vishnu to come and help. And of course he does. So the only way the modern version of this story is going to be solved is if we also call on Vishnu or Krishna by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So it's up to us to bring Krishna into this world by vibrating his name, and he comes in the sound vibration, the sound of his holy name. So this is how the world can be saved now. And there's really no other way. There is no other way to rectify this situation, because the demons, by their very nature, they destroy things. They're destroying everything. And so that they can have complete and total control. It's insane. But so there's a big work to do. And we have to call on the Lord. And the Lord will come. He will show himself again. He's fully competent to rectify the situation simply being manifest in his holy name. Krishna is there completely in all of his potency in the sound of his holy name. And we can take shelter of him in that way. So we should, when we're chanting in kirtan or japa, we should be praying to the Lord, please, my Lord, come. This world needs some help. There's too much darkness here. We need some light. We need some goodness. So we can appeal like this to the Lord to come and rectify the situation, as all of these avatars do. So we'll stop there. Maybe you have some questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
In this verse, Krishna is explaining he's coming to protect the Dharma. And in the 18th chapter, he's explaining to Arjuna the ultimate order or instruction to Sarvatarman Parityaja to abandon Dharma. So can you just shortly say something about
sure.
this? Because you are expecting Bhagavad
Gita.
Issues.
You haven't heard my lecture. I give a whole lecture on this topic.
Oh,
yeah. My lecture on where I introduce spiritual economics. And the idea is because Christians say sarva dharma, all these dharmas, we have to give them up. So what are all these dharmas? All the dharmas that we think we're supposed to do. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is complaining to Krishna he doesn't want to fight the war, and he's giving some good arguments. Where are those arguments from that Arjuna is giving?
Dharma.
Dharma, yeah. They're Vanashram Dharma, actually. They're the Dharma or the Dharma of Arjuna's time. And still Krishna said, never mind that. Don't fight the battle. So then the question becomes, well, what does that mean to us? What kind of dharma are we supposed to, sarva dharma pratyaga? What kind of dharma do we give up? And the answer is the same. All these other things that we think we are supposed to do, these things that our government, our society, our culture tells us that we should do as good citizens, people, to maintain our social standing, we should abandon those things that interfere with our proper execution of devotional service. So when Krishna comes to establish Dharma, he's coming to actually rectify the situation so that everyone can live peacefully. When Krishna was here and speaking the Bhagavad Gita, of course, in that battle, most of those demons that were a great disturbance on the world, they were killed at that time, but since then they've reconstituted their numbers, and now again we have the same situation as when Bhumi was complaining to Lord Brahma the first time. Help! I can't stand it. It's too much. Huh? So we have to, as the Brahman, the Brahminical class, understand how to protect the praja, the entire world, by calling on the Lord to come and rectify the situation. Okay? Thank you. Yes? Shout. Very loud.
Regarding this dharma, and which dharma we're supposed to abandon, Sanatana dharma, or perceiving ourselves as being servant of Krishna, is kind of higher than to Varnashrama dharma. Then why did Srila Prabhupada still want us to establish Varnashrama dharma?
Okay, well, Varnashrama dharma is a means for people who are fallen to be able to come to the level of being able to execute the principles of Bhakti Yoga. When Prabhupada began his mission and the early devotees were very surrendered to him, he said at one point, all my devotees are pure devotees. Huh? They were acting as pure devotees because they were completely surrendered to Prabhupada. And they were motivated simply by pleasing Prabhupada. As the society developed, then our motivations began to change and so on. We were not so pure. And around 75, 76, especially around 76, sannyasis started to fall down. The married couples were getting divorced. And so Prabhupada then saw the situation was not quite what he thought that it was before, and realized that, you know, we're not qualified in many ways to actually perform bhakti yoga. In 1977, therefore, Prabhupada was going on and encouraging his leaders to establish Vanashram Dharma within ISKCON. And the leaders were very bewildered by that because they said, but Prabhupada, we're trying to teach them how to be devotees. And Prabhupada said, well, it's not so easy to be a devotee. Because if it's so easy to be a devotee, then why are they all falling down? So the idea of Vanashram Dharma is, the idea is that we have to act from where we're at. We cannot be something that we're not. We are very, very fallen people of Kali Yuga. We're addicted to so many sinful activities. And therefore, we cannot, many devotees cannot properly execute the principles of Bhakti Yoga. So therefore, Prabhupada wanted to establish Vanashram as the stepping stone to do that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains this in some detail in his book Chaitanya Shikshamrita, how Vanashram is the stepping stone to help the people become purified so that they can then begin to execute Bhakti Yoga in a proper way. Okay.
Regarding different avatars that come to this world, is there any order or is it different in every manifestation of different days of Brahman, these other time scales?
All of the avatars, Prabhupada, he says here, he uses the word scheduled. They're actually on a schedule. They have to appear at a certain time. So there's the Yuga avatars. They have to come and give the religion for the age. Generally, they do that at the beginning of the age. Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki. Shri Shri Gaurani Tai Ki. And so the Shastra predicts when they will appear, where they will appear, what the names of their parents will be, so that there is no confusion as to actually who is a bona fide incarnation. Prabhupada writes in many places, actually, that there's so many people who claim to be God in India, that India is manufacturing so many gods. I read about one fellow, he had an electrical system set up, and he showed people with electrical meter that there was 10,000 volts going through these two wires, and he would grab them and hold on to them. And surely he must be God if he can hold on to 10,000 volts. And so people were actually accepting him as God. But if you know about electricity, you can hold up 100,000 volts. You've seen it, perhaps a Van de Graaff generator. You take 100,000 volts and it makes your hair stand up on end if you have hair. So anyway, there's many foolish people who will, who are ignorant, who will accept anybody as an incarnation. So therefore, the bona fide incarnations are predicted in the scripture, along with when they will appear, the place, and who their parents are. And they do come back periodically, yes.
Explain that actually Lord Varaha picked up the Bhumandala, which is like a plane or flat. But in this picture, which was, I suppose, made under the Srila Prabhupada's supervision, it is the globe. So we should take this as a symbolic representation?
Have some idea? Seems to be. This is most people's perception of what the earth is a globe. So I take it like that. In fact, I just found that out recently also from other devotees who were discussing this, that it was the entire Bhumandala that was picked up, not just the Earth planet. So, of course, the Earth, Bharat Varsha, is part of Bhumandala. And they're all figuring out what exact arrangement that is at the TOVP Trying to show it to us graphically so we can understand where we're situated.
Nivriti mark.
So what's the question?
How to understand is it like a stepping stone and then you begin, or it's within the ashram?
Well, we have to understand that generally what's written about Varnashram there is the Varnashram that was followed before, which was Karmakanda. So Karmakanda is Pravritti Marg, which means the path of enjoyment. Vaishnavism is the path of Nivritti Marg, the path of renunciation. Because of having a higher taste, the devotees are very easily to let go of the lower taste. Anyway, so those who were following that former system, yes, they would not be following Nivritti Marg, but if they executed their duties properly, under the direction of a proper spiritual master, they would be able to achieve liberation. Generally, that was not the goal of Varnashram Dharma. The goal was to go to heaven in the next life, have a higher birth, and enjoy in this lifetime. So you enjoy now, you enjoy later, after you leave the body, you go to heaven, then you come back and you enjoy some more. So it's just all one big party. Something like that.
Are you speaking about
Dadi Varnashram? No, Varnashram. No, not a Asuric Varnashram. No, plain vanilla Varnashram. Yeah. Karmakanda Varnashram. Okay? So Daiva Varnashram is the idea, the social organization of Varnashram combined with the Bhagavat Marg, that the Vaishnavas follow. And so when Prabhupada says to reestablish Varnashram, it's not that we're going to reestablish Varnashram like before where we worship demigods and we do all these rituals. And we're not going to do that. No, we continue to worship Krishna as Vaishnavas. But we'll use the social organization of Varnashram Dharma and the ashrams to facilitate becoming purified to be able to then execute devotional service properly. On my YouTube channel, I have a whole lecture series on Varnashram Dharma, so you're welcome to. If you want more details about it, you can listen there. Okay? Daneshwar Das on YouTube. Okay, back there.
My realization is that, according to my opinion, purity of asking for help in this darkness is very important. Can you comment on that?
Purity of what?
Purity of intent in prayer to overcome this darkness is important. So can you comment on that?
To overcome the what?
The darkness that is surrounding.
Darkness of the world.
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, there's different motivations that people have for any activity. To say it another way, any activity can be performed with different kinds of motivation. So if people are struggling with some situation, their motivation may be so that they can become famous, that they can benefit materially because it should be done, because they want to please God, and so on. If we have some selfish motivation, then our power of calling God is not so great, because, you know, what are we doing? I mean, this is how most people pray all the time. God, my dear God, please give me this, give me that. This is what goes on in the name of prayer today. So it's not something that's very attractive to the Lord. But the devotees, they pray to the Lord for his devotional service. And the Lord is very happy to reciprocate with that, because that's what he wants. He wants to have a reciprocal loving relationship with them. So that purity is attractive to the Lord. And certainly will get his attention more than people praying for some selfish motive. Okay? Okay, last one.
How can one explain astrophysics about war picking up the Earth?
Are you an astrophysicist? Oh, okay. You can answer better than I can.
I'm lost.
We had, myself and some God brothers, we had some discussion about this, because the Bhumandala is almost the size of the entire shell of the universe. There's a little wiggle room on either side. And so we're trying to figure out, well, if it fell down, it couldn't fall down very far, because then it gets stuck, right, in the lower part. And then how's the Lord Bohr get underneath it to be able to lift it up? I don't know. We became puzzled by that. Yeah, so we have to worship Lord Bohr so he can reveal that pastime to us. Okay, so Krishna, he wants to have loving reciprocation, loving relationship with us, huh? So he's maintaining this universe for that purpose. So we can please him, by executing devotional service. Do our service simply in the mood of pleasing the Lord, We talked about motivation. So this should be our motivation all the time. Let me do this activity, whatever it might be. Let me do this nicely, simply to please the Lord. And if we think like that, this is Krishna consciousness, how to please Krishna. So please do your activities like this in Krishna consciousness. Please chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra nicely to call the Lord to come again, protect the world, and we'll see. We'll see him manifest. Just like when the Lord comes, these different incarnations, it's a wonderful thing for the devotees to behold. So you can imagine, by our chanting, the Lord will come and turn this world around. It'll be a wonderful thing to see. And we'll be able to understand the potency of the Lord when that happens. But we have to do our part. We have to call for the Lord. So let us do our devotional service in this way. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitya Gaur Premanandi.